Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moikotin Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Chof Zayin. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our features of the Shas Ozer. We have a Mivneh, a structural note, and we also have a topic heading, a Nosei. So you'll notice a bow tie shape. This is one of our many different series markings, and under the Mivneh note, we have written Braisos B'inyin Kfiya Samita. These are Tanaic sources that deal with the inverting of beds. This is one of the practices of a mourner, and we spoke about this at the end of our previous shiur. On the topic, under the topic heading, we have written Me'emosai Koifin and Zoikfin. At what point do we flip over the bed, and at what point in time is it repositioned? The Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan, Me'emosai Koifin es Hamitois. From at what point do we invert the beds? Misheyotza mipesach beiso, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. From the point at which he leaves his house, from the point that the corpse is carried out of the house, so the beds in that house are inverted. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mishistam HaGoylel. Rabbi Yeshua says from the point at which the grave is sealed. Maisa Shemes Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken, an incident took place with at the time of the death of Rabbi Gamliel the elder. Kevon Shiyotzo Mipesach Beso, at the point that he was taken out of his house. Omar Lohem Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer commanded, he instructed, Kafu Mitosechem, invert your beds. The Kevon Shinistam HaGoylel, and when the grave was sealed, Omar Lohem Rabbi Yeshua. Now Rabbi Yeshua instructed, Kafu Mitosechem. Omrulo, they told Rabbi Yeshua, Kvar Kofinu Alpi Zokain. We already inverted the beds upon the instruction of the elder. Apparently a reference to Rabbi Eliezer. Tonu Rabbonon, Me'emosai Zoikvin Es Hamitois. From at what point are the beds repositioned? Be'erev Shabbos. Let's read that again. Me'emosai Zoikvin Es Hamitois Be'erev Shabbos. When it comes to Erev Shabbos, that's Friday, and we understand that on Shabbos one is not to have inverted beds. That would be a situation of exhibited, of obvious acts of mourning, which we do not allow on Shabbos. So Friday, at what point on Friday do we reposition the beds? Min ha-mincha ulamalo, from after noon onwards. Omar Rabo Barhuna, Afapi Kane, Eno Yoshivala Ashe Techshach. Even though we're repositioning the beds on Friday afternoon, one is not to sit on them, a mourner is not to sit on them until darkness, until Shabbos itself sets in. Ulamotsoi Shabbos, and when we arrive at the end of Shabbos, Afapi She'ein Lo Leishev Elo Yom Echad, Choser V'Koifa, even if he has only one more day of mourning to observe, let us say Shabbos represented the sixth day, so there's only one more day to complete the 7 days of mourning, nevertheless the beds must be re-inverted, in words, flipped over again, upside down. Tonu Rabbonan, HaKoifa Mitosai, when we speak about the turning over of beds, maybe we should point out that when throughout the Talmud, the bed was not only for sleeping on; it was also people would eat on them. It was they would recline on them. It was the standard form of seating. So when we speak about flipping over beds, lo mitosei bilvad hu koifa, not only is his bed turned over, elokol mitos sheish lo besoch beso hu koifa, all the beds in his house must be flipped over. Vafilu yeshlo eser mitos beasora mekaymos, even if he has 10 beds in 10 different locations, koifas kulan, he flips them all over. Vafilu chamisho achin umes echod kulan koifin. Even if there are 5 brothers and 1 died, all of their beds must be turned over. In other words, it's not, this bed flipping is not simply a symbolic gesture where one would be enough, but all must be flipped over. Ve'im hoiso mito hamyuchedes l'kelim, if it's a bed that's reserved for vessels, a type of display bed where vessels are placed on it, ein tzorach lechfosa, that does not need to be turned over. Dargish, ein tzorach lechfosa ela zeikfo. Now, this word dargish we cannot explain because the Gemara itself will deal with it on the next line. You can see we've squiggle underlined that question. It's going to be a central point of discussion in the Gemara. But for the meantime, dargish does not need to be flipped over, rather just stood upwards, upright. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, dargish matir es karbitov hu noifel me'elov. The dargish, you loosen its straps and it falls downwards. This will have to be dealt with as we go on in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, my dargish. Now, before we begin the Gemara here, let's glance at the side. The topic heading is Afal pi dekoifin kol mitas avayas dargish ein sorach lefoso. Even though all the beds in the house need to be flipped over, a dargish does not need to be flipped over. Under the Mivneh, we have a squiggle underline that's going to highlight the question, my dargish. We're also going to have a give and take in this Gemara, and that is highlighted by the use of the triangle we call ma'akav. Ma'akav is to keep track. With the triangle facing up, the point facing up, that represents a response, an answer, and the inverted triangle represents a question, a challenge. In addition, we have a very important marking, and this crown shape will highlight 2 pirushim ledargish, 2 explanations as to what a dargish is. So if you look over the Gemara, just a bird's eye view, we have, immediately we'll see explanation number 1, where the Gemara says a dargish is an arsa degada. Basically, we'll translate that as a good luck bed. Later, skim down the page, you see another crown marking. Just you can skim down the little space, you find a number 2 very quickly, and you see another explanation after the Arsa Degado explanation is subjected to a grilling. It doesn't hold up. So we have to come up with a new explanation as to what a dargish is, and the Gemara will say Arsa de Tzola. Tzola is leather, a leather bed. We'll see later that for image purposes, we might describe it as a trampoline, but we'll wait for that. My dargish, we go back to the Gemara. Well, so what is a dargish? Omar ulo arso degado, a good luck bed. The word God has to do with something of a, we'll say, an abstract or spiritual nature. Rashi says here, Arsa Degada, Mito Shem Yachdim Oiso Lamazel Toiv, a bed that's set aside for good fortune. The Ein Mishtam Shin Bo Klum, Elam Yachdim Oiso Lishrois Mazel Toiv Aleha. Now, this is way beyond my understanding. This is a realm of knowledge that is in the in the abstract realm. So whatever that means, it has to do with with good fortune. So there was a practice, people would have beds set aside, not used, and it was there for good fortune to settle upon. We continue in the Gemara. Omar le Rabo. So Rabo asks, Ula, Ela Meato, Gabi Melech Tisnan, regarding a king. It says, Kol Ha'om Mesubin Al Ha'oretz, Vehu Mesev Al Hadargish. The king is in mourning. So it says that the nation, everyone around, sits on the floor, and he sits on a dargish. Mi iko midi, is there anything? And we have to work with the idea that the dargish for the time being is a good luck bed. So we're saying that the nation, people who come to visit him will sit on the floor, and he'll sit on the good luck bed. Mi iko midi, da'adu idna loy oisvine. Could it be that, is there anything that until now, ad ho'idno, until ho'idno now, lo osvine, it would not be sat upon? It was a good luck bed. And we saw before, you wouldn't sit on a good luck bed. V'hashta mo'isvino le, and now, when he becomes a mourner, so he's now going to sit on it. It's like the mourner, in this case the king, is using something new that he had not used before. Is that proper? Is that something that is within the realm of proper mourning behavior? Maskiflo Ravashi. Ravashi responds to this, and he says, "My kusha." This was, of course, he responds to Rava's objection. So he says, what's the problem? Midi dahave achila ushtia. This idea of newness in the case of the dargish has a precedent, the whole realm of eating and drinking. The ad ho'idna, until now, lo ochline velo ashkine. A person wasn't fed by the food of others, he ate his own food. Hashto, once a person becomes a mourner, the initial meal that a mourner eats is alchline, the ashkine. We provide it for him. The public provides the meal for the mourner. In other words, others feed him. So you have an element of newness when it comes to a mourner. So the could very well be that the dargish is, as we explained, a good luck bed that wasn't used till now. And now that the king becomes a mourner, so he sits on it. Question. Ela, e kashya ha kashya. But if there is any objection to raise to this explanation, we'll call it the good luck bed explanation, the following is a question. Desanya, dargish einoy tzorch lichfoyse ela zaykfoy. We saw this in the Tanaic source above, that a dargish is not flipped over. All that's needed to be done is that it's stood upright. The arsa degado, if it's as Ula explained, it's a good luck bed. Amai eino tzorach lechfoiso, why is it exempt from being flipped over? Ha tanya. Have we not learned hakoyfe mitosu lo mitosu b'vad hu koyfe lo kol mitos sheyesh lo besoch beiso koyfe? Not only is the bed that the mourner uses flipped over, but all the beds in the house are flipped over. So why should the dargish, if it's a normal bed but it's simply never used, it's a good luck bed, why shouldn't it be flipped over? So the Gemara responds to that and says, Umay Kushya, why is this a challenge to the Arso de Gado Pshat explanation? Midi dehave amita hamyuchedes lekelim. It would be the same, we'll treat it with the same standard as we do with regard to a bed that's reserved for vessels. We mentioned before the display bed. Desanya, as we learned above, imhoiso mita hamyuchedes lekelim eino tzorach lichfoiso. It does not need to be flipped over. So at this point, the dargush could still very well be a good luck bed. And don't challenge that shot by virtue of the fact that it doesn't need to be flipped over. We have precedent for beds that don't need to be flipped over. The mitam yuchedes lekelim. Hello. I kashya ho kashya. But if there's anything to ask, to challenge the Dargish Pshat, the following is the question. Rabbi Shimon Amlio Oimer Dargish Matir Karbito Vunoifil Me'elov. Shimon Amlio, above, in describing the Dargish, he says that the way it is dealt with by the mourner is the loosening of its straps, and it falls groundwards. If you're going to think that a dargish is, as Ula explained, a regular bed, just a good luck bed, my karbitin islay, what straps does a regular bed have? A regular bed, for our purposes, is a frame on which you place a mattress, and that's a bed. Where do you have straps? Therefore, ki also ravin omar leahu merabonon v'av tachlifa bar marofa shmei. When Ravin came, so he was told by a rabbi, Rav Tachlifa, the Havishchiach Beshuka Dildoi, that this Rav Tachlifa used to frequent a leather market. And he said, my Dargish, you want to know what a Dargish is? Arsa Tetzola, it's a leather bed. Itmar Nami, Omer of Yirmiyah, and the Gemara will go on to explain a little bit more on this topic, but before we go on with the Gemara, try to imagine a trampoline. As I understand it, you can imagine a frame, and there's in this case we're talking about a leather, we'll call it a slab of leather, a sheet of leather whose dimensions are less than the frame, than the trampoline, than the frame around it, and you have to attach this sheet of leather to the frame, extending from the sheet of leather all around the sheet of leather. There extends straps, and the straps, in the case of a trampoline, maybe they're springs, but these straps are attached to the frame. Now, these straps can be loosened, and if you loosen them, so the leather center, the leather sheet, will then descend, and that would be like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel described. The Tanakhama says you don't have to do that. All you do is you take this trampoline looking thing and stand it upright. So with that in mind, we continue in the Gemara. Itmar Nami, Omar Rav Yirmiyah, Dargish Sirugo Mitocho, Mito Sirugo Al Gabo. He makes a distinction between a Mito and a Dargish. In both cases, we're talking about a frame with a center mattress or sheet of, if you will, of leather. There's a difference between a dargish and a mita in the way the center sheet of leather is attached, and more precisely, the straps that extend from the sheet of leather to the surrounding frame. There's a difference. A dargish, the Gemara says, sirugo mitocho. So if you can imagine a pole, and this will actually be a frame made of four poles creating a frame, and the pole has holes in it. Imagine a flute with a hole going through and through. The straps are threaded through the holes of the frame. In the case of a mito, siruga al gabo, that means the straps that extend from the central sheet, those straps are wound around the frame, not through holes in the frame, but they're wound around the frame so that where the strap appears on the frame, it covers the pole that constitutes the frame. Whereas in the case of the dargish, so the strap goes through the holes in the frame where you'd be able to see the frame all along its perimeter. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha k'Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. The halacha will follow Rabbi Shmuel's, his approach to the dargish, where you loosen the straps and the central mattress or the central sheet falls downwards. Omar Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha, Omar of Asi, Mito shenakliteho yoitzin, zoikfo vidayo. Again, you have to imagine a bed. Imagine a regular bed. However, the bed has a canopy. In order to support the canopy, a pole extends from the head of the bed, an upright pole, and from the foot of the bed, another upright pole. And across the top, a rod is extended from pole to pole, and on top of that, a canopy would be draped, a screen, a curtain, some netting, whatever, but it forms a canopy over the bed. So the bed, a bed like that with the upright poles, you can't turn it upside down. You have only two, the poles would collapse, they'll break if you try to do that. So a bed that's mito shenaklita, those are the upright poles that extend from the foot and head of the bed, all you do in such a case is you stand the bed upright, zoikva vidayo, and that is enough. Tonu Rabbonan. We have another Tanaic source. Yoshein al gabi kisei, al gabi udaini gedoilo, al gabi karka, lo yotzi yedechoy voso. A mourner who sits on a chair or on an oblong bench in udaini or even on the ground, he does not fulfill his mourning requirement. In other words, the bed must be flipped over. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Shalokim Kfiyas Hamita. Even though, as far as his personal sitting is concerned, so he is sitting on the ground, so that would be okay, but he hasn't fulfilled the act of flipping over the bed. So that you can see that this practice is not just what we would call a halacha in the gavra, a person-centered halacha, but it's a halacha in the cheftza, in the item. The item itself must be flipped over. Tonu Rabbonon, mechabdin umarbitzin bebeis ha'ovel. Mechabdin is sweeping, marbitzin is to sprinkle water on the floor to keep dust from rising. So this can be done in the house of a mourner. Umadichin koros v'koisus utzluchios v'kitonios bebeis ha'ovel. And the dishes and other cutlery can be washed, washed in the house of the ovel. V'ein mevien es ha-mugmor v'es-ha-besomim lebeis ha-ovel. Mugmor and besomim, mugmor is an aroma created by burning spices, and besomim are spices. They are not to be brought to the house of the mourner. Eini, is that so? V'ha-toni bar-kapora ein mevorchin lo al ha-mugmor v'lo al ha-besomim lebeis ha-ovel. There's a source taught by Bar Kapora that a brocha is not made over the mugmar or besamim in the house of the ovel. Bruchi hu delo mevarchin. The only thing regarding the spices is a brocha is not made. Ha asuye maisi, but they can be brought. Lo kashya. There is no difficulty here. Ha beveis ovel. Ha beveis hamenachamin. Now this line of Gemara requires a great deal of explanation, and we have noted on the side a reference to explain this. One can look into the Tur Shulchan Aruch Yerideya Simin Shinayin Ches Siv Zayin, and to look at the commentary of the Chidushei HaGois and see a bit more on it. But what we're going to say now is a very superficial explanation, and that is that a distinction is made between the house in which there is a corpse versus a house where only the mourners are sitting, but there's no corpse. So that in the case of spices that are brought to a house where there is a corpse, so the spices are brought there, but there is no brocha, because the role of the spices and aroma is not to benefit from the aroma, but rather to counter the foul odor of decomposition. So when the role of spices are to combat foul of foul odors, a brocha is not made over them. So that's the source that indicates that they are brought and no brocha is made. But as we said, this piece of Gemara requires more explanation, and we have given you the reference. Ein molichin, the Mishnah says, Ein molichin lebeis ovel, lo betavel v'lo beaskutla v'lo bekonon elo besalim. Here we're dealing with the bringing of food to the house of the mourner. So these are different types of vessels, a tavla, an askutla, a kanon. One does not bring food to the ovel's house that way, rather in baskets. In other words, there's a standardized form of bringing food to the mourner. V'ein oimrim birchas avelim b'moyed, the benediction that's made on the occasion of a death is not recited on the holiday. Avol oimdin b'shura u'menachamin, however, the comforters and mourners, the practice of standing in a row, lining up, in order to comfort is done. Upotrin esarabim, and the mourners tell those that came to comfort, you may go home. Ein manichin eshamito borochoiv shul hargil eshahespin. On the holiday, a coffin is not to be placed in a public square, because that will cause a eulogy to take place, and we don't eulogize on holidays. V'lo shel noshim le'oilom b'pnei hakovod, and a stretcher containing a deceased woman is never placed down in the public because of honor. In order to honor the woman, the nature of women is such that they have blood releases, and this could be a source of disparagement, and hence we don't leave the stretchers with a female deceased corpse in public. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have on the side a nosei mivne heading. You'll notice as you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice diamonds appear. Borishona, in the beginning, Sidra Shel Hanhoga Sakshuas Leitzos Ameis, series of practices that are related to carrying out the dead to burial. Shohoya Behen Havchono Bein Anoshim Shoinim V'Hoyu Misbaishin. You'll see different practices that initially, when they were practiced, resulted in distinctions made between different classes of people. And as a result of that, the lower class was embarrassed by the way they were treated differently. And we say lower class, we simply mean a different class, as you'll see through the examples of the Gemara. And as a result of that, you'll see, notice the swiggle underline is used to highlight the expressions hiskinu. They established lo yuhu mavchinam oid b'pnei kvoidon shel. These expressions that we've featured here are highlighted with our squiggle underline. They abandoned the original, the Borishona practices, and instituted something new that was of a uniform nature so as to avoid embarrassment. So, as you can see with our markings, you see a number of, quite a few of these, and they continue down the upper part of Omid Beis as well. Tona Rabbanan, Borishona Hu Yomolichin Bebeis Ovel. Initially, they would bring to the house of the mourners food. Ashirim Bekalsos Shel Kesef Shel Zohav V'aniyim Besalei Nitzorim Shel Arova Klufa. The rich would bring food in receptacles made of silver and gold, and the poor with baskets made of peeled reed material. Very cheap material. V'hoyu aniyim misbaishin, and the poor were embarrassed that they had only these lowly vessels with which to bring their food. Yiskinu shiuk akol mevim besalit sorm shal rova klufa. They established that there should be a uniform method of bringing the food to the house of the mourner, using the, we'll call the lowest common denominator, these reed baskets, mitnei kvoidon shalim, out of honor to the poor. Tonu Rabbanan, Borishona hoyu mashkin beis ovel, and initially drinks were served in the house of the ovel. Ashirim b'schuchis levona ve'aniim b'schuchis tzvua, the rich in this fine type of glass, literally white glass or clear glass, and the aniim in the cheaper colored glass. V'hoyu aniim is baishin, and the poor were embarrassed. Hiskinu shua kol mashkim b'schuchis tzvua. They established that all should use the cheap colored glass, mekvoidun shel aniim, out of respect to the poor. Borishona hoyu megalin pnei ashirun u'mechasin pnei aniim. Initially, the faces of the rich were exposed. You could see their faces, and the faces of the poor were covered because of their dark complexion as a result of famished circumstances. And the poor were embarrassed. So a uniform practice was established that the faces of all shall be covered. The Rabbeinu Hananel at the second to last line explains the chen hoyu megalin es meisin hoashirim. It's a very interesting source, something that we don't associate standard Jewish funerals. And of course, you can see already the origin of it. Even though many general funerals, you find the body exposed. The body is there for viewing, as it's called. So apparently this was something that took place amongst traditional Jewish circles as well at one time, where the face of the dead were exposed. However, you could see the difference between the face of the wealthy versus the face of the impoverished. And as a result of this, it caused embarrassment to people who were impoverished. So they established that the faces of all deceased are to be covered. So as far as Jewish tradition is concerned, the practice of viewing comes to an end. Borishona hoyu motzien ashirim bedargish ve'aniim. We continue at the top of Amud Beis beklicha. Initially, the rich deceased were carried out on a dargish, and we discussed that word above, and aniim were carried out in some type of lesser entity. Rashi says mita shel mason, and vohu aniim is baishin, and this led to the embarrassment of the poor. So it was instituted the klicha was instituted as the uniform method of carrying out the dead. Even the rich would be carried out on a klicha. Borishano yamanichim es hamugmor tachas chole me'ayim meisim v'hoyu chole me'ayim chayim es baishin. Initially, mugmor, we mentioned mugmor before, this was an aroma created by burning spices. This mugmor was placed under the dead who suffered from digestive disorders. As a result of digestive disorders, so a foul odor would be present, and that could be countered by mugmar. However, this led to embarrassment on the part of those people who are alive and suffer from digestive disorders. That led to their embarrassment. So, iskinu shumanifim tachas hakol, b'nei kvodon shecholei me'ayim chayim. So they instituted that under the beds or the stretchers of all dead, mugmar would be placed, so as to preserve the dignity of those living people that suffer from these disorders. So again, uniformity will then solve the problem of embarrassment. Borishono hoyu matbilin es hakelim al gabi nidois mesois. If a woman died, while she was experiencing her monthly cycle, the menstrual cycle, her clothing when she was alive, but a nido, they became tomei. They were defiled by the state of nidus, so all of her clothing would be immersed in a mikveh. So initially, they would immerse the clothing, the kalim, the vessels of the clothing of nidos that died. V'hoyu nidos chayos misbaishos, and the living nidos women were embarrassed by this special treatment of nidos that died. So they instituted that any woman that died, regardless of whether she was a nido or not, their clothing would be immersed in a mikvah. Borishono matbilin algabi zovin mason, for zovin chayin mizbaishin. Now, a zav is an emission that creates impurity or defilement on the part of males. So the same situation as we described with regard to the nidos applies to the zavin. So initially, the clothing of someone who died in a state of ziva were immersed. Vayuzovin chayin misbaishin. Iskinu sheyu matbilin agabi hakol mipnei kvoidon shel zovin chayim. Barishona hoisa huitzas hameis kosher likrov of yosem imisoso. Initially, the expenses incurred for burying the dead was a greater pain than the actual death of the individual. The expenses that were incurred and had to be borne by the relatives of the deceased was a source of greater pain than the actual death. And this was this expense was attributed to the high cost of the shrouds that would be used to clothe the corpse. Ad shehoyu kroivav manichin oisei uborchin. This led to a situation where someone who died, the body would be abandoned by his relatives. They would leave the body somewhere and run away, so as to not have to bear the expense of his shrouds. Ad shebo rabon gamliel v'noha kalis rosh bi'atzmo v'yotze b'klei pishton, until Rabban Gamliel ordered that upon his death, he shall be wrapped in clay pishton. Clay pishton is considered an inexpensive type material for shroud purposes. Usually, clay pishton is translated as linens. V'noagu ha'om achrov lotzeis b'clay pishton. And as a result of Rabban Gamliel, who was the leader of the Jewish people, setting the precedent, everyone followed suit. How do you like that pun, by the way? Omar Rav Popa Voidna, and nowadays Nohug Almo Afilu Bitsardo Bar Zuza. Things improved to the extent that nowadays people use something even cheaper. Tsardo Bar Zuza. Tsardo Rashi uses a word that sounds familiar to us. He uses the word canvas, sounds like canvas. But whatever the case is, it's purchased for azuz being a coin, but it's very little value. Omar, and hence you can see how there had to be, they needed to break the ice, so to speak. Rabban Gamliel started off the trend in the right direction, and as time went on, things improved in that fashion. Ein menichin es hamito borachov. Omar Rav Papa Ein Moe Bifnei Tamuchav. Now, we said in the Mishnah that we don't, on the holiday, we don't leave the stretcher with the corpse in a public square, because that would lead to eulogizing, which is something forbidden on a holiday. Rav Papa says, when it comes to the death of a Torah sage, the rules of non-eulogizing on holidays are suspended. In other words, we will eulogize the passing of a Torah sage, even on a holiday. The Kol Shekein Chanukah Upurim, and all the more so if we're going to violate, so to speak, the holiday for the sake of eulogizing, a holiday being Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Those are major holidays. All the more so the rabbinic holidays of Chanukah and Purim, one will eulogize it for a Talmud Chacham. The Hani Mili Bafonov, that is, only so if the body is there in front of him. Aval shaloi b'fonav lo, but not in front of him, then not so. Aini, is that the case? V'ho Rav Kana safti the Rav Zvid min Ardo b'fum Nahara. We see that Rav Kahana eulogized, and apparently on a holiday, the death of Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid was from Narda, and Rav Kahana eulogized him in a different location, Pul Narus. He wasn't in front of him. Omer Rav Popi, Yoim Shmua Havei. The Rav Kahana eulogy took place on the day that he heard about the death. He heard about it on a Yom Tov. And ukebefonav domi, and as a result of that, called the freshness, the suddenness, and the immediacy, it's considered as if the body was there. Omar Ula presents three different actions that are associated with eulogizing and the acknowledging death. On the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, a double underline is featured. And these represent Tnuos, Yodayim, Raglayim, Shoisim, Labiatzar. These are actions, motions done by hands and feet that express mournfulness. Hesped. Now, hesped is associated, generally speaking, with a eulogy, which is verbal. But during the hesped, there is al lev. A person will, let's say, beat himself on his chest. Dichtiv al shodayim soivdim. Shodayim, breasts or chest, where the heart is. Tipuach, that's another term that means biyad. It's a clapping of the hands. A person, when he is overcome by remorse, so the person will react by clapping. And kilus beregel, kilus, another action that is done by stomping of the feet on the ground. Tonu rabbonon hamakales lekales besan, the one who engages in this action of banging of the feet should not do so while wearing a sandal. And a sandal is an open shoe. Elo b'minol, rather do so with a closed shoe. Mipnei hasakona, by stomping with the open shoe, there is a fear that it might get loose and flip over, and then inadvertently you'll stomp with this flipped over shoe, open shoe, and end up endangering yourself. Now, as we go on, we notice triangles appear, and on the side, we see under our Mivneh, Memros Shel Rabbi Yochanan. We highlight comments made by Rabbi Yochanan. Hisnagus Ha'ovel, Hisnagus Achirim Klapi Ovel, the behavior, the practices of the mourner, and those of others toward the mourner. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ovel, Kevon Shinyanea, Roshoi, Shuv Ein Menachemim, Roshoi, Leishev Etzlo. The mourner who has received comforters, the menachemim, those who come to comfort, the mourner, once he nods his head in recognition that he feels comforted by them, so they are not to sit there any longer. That's a signal, so to speak, for them to leave. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, HaKol Chayovim Lamod, everyone is obligated to stand up in honor of a king, except for a mourner and someone who is infirmed. Nosi can also mean a leader. The Omer of Yochanan, Rakol Umrim Lahem Shvu. Everyone is told after they stood up in honor, let's say, of a sage or of a king. The public is instructed then, sit down. Chutz me'ovel v'chola. You don't use the word shvu in the context of someone who, a mourner or someone who's sick. And it seems to me, even if they happen to have stood up and they weren't required to, you don't instruct them shvu. And if I'm not mistaken, I seem to recall from elsewhere that it would indicate to them, sit down and dwell in your problem, in your mourning, or in your sickness. So we don't use the word shvu with regard to an ovel nor a choyle. Now, as we go on, we have a new marking, a house shape, and this is, it represents, as we indicate on the side, Memros Shurab Yehuda Marav, Bekesher Le Ovel VeHames. comments made by Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav regarding mourners and the dead. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Ovel Yoim Rishon Osu Lecho Lecha Mishaloi. The mourner on his first day of mourning is prohibited from eating his own bread, his own food. From the fact that the Almighty said to Yecheskel, and we've seen this in the past, Yecheskel represented in that section of the prophet, he represented Avelus. And we saw numerous times that he represented a mourner, but the practices that he was expected to practice were actually exceptions to the rule. So from the fact that the Almighty told Yecheskel, who was an analogy to mourning, V'lechem anoshim loy soichel, that you shall not eat the bread of others, which for us means he should not, but other mourners have to. They do eat the bread of others. Rab of Rav Yosef, when they became Avelim, Machlefi Sidusai Ladodi, they exchanged meals, so that Rabba would provide food to Rav Yosef when he became a mourner, and Rav Yosef would provide food to Rabba when he became a mourner. The Omer of Yehuda, Omar Rav. Ironically, before we go on, it just occurred to me that this Machlefi Sidusayu, you find, interestingly, if I'm not mistaken, also in Maseches Megillah with regard to Mishloach Monos. The Gemara continues, Rama Rav Yehuda Marav, Meis Be'ir, Kol B'nei Asur Basiyas Malach. If someone dies in a community, so everyone in town must stop their work and take care of the dead. Rav Hamnuna Iklo Le Durumta. Rav Hamnuna visited this community of Durumta. Shama Kol Shipuro D'Shachva. He heard a sound, a shofar sound, an announcement indicating someone died. He noticed people in that town were going about their regular activities. Were going to work. Omar Lahu, and Rav Hamnuna reacted. Lehevu Hanuch Inshi Bishamto. These people should be excommunicated. Lo Shachvo Iko Bemasus. They're not a dead person in town. What are you going to work for? You're supposed to be preoccupied with his burial. Omru Lei, they informed him. Chavurta Iko Bamasa. Maybe you've heard the term Chevra Kadisha, and it seems that you have the precedent for that right here in the Gemara. Chavurta means a group, an assigned group that deals with the dead. So in that town, there was an official organization that dealt with the dead, thereby freeing or relieving the rest of the community from that obligation, so that the dead isn't going to be abandoned and not tended to. Omar Lahus, Rav Hamnuna said, "Ihachi Sharia Lahu." If that be the case, so your excommunication is released. The Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Kol Hameskash Al Meso Yoser Midai. Anyone who is overly emotional, who accepts the death of the relative in too intense a fashion, more than usual, that is not good. That, in effect, appears as if one is questioning the ways of the Almighty. Of course, a person is a human being, and we recognize the sadness and the catastrophe of one losing a loved one. However, one has to bear in mind that as human beings, we're part of the world God created. And as merciful and as compassionate as a person is, the Almighty is infinitely more compassionate. And when he does, one must not lose sight of that fact. So you have a very harsh statement that anyone who overdoes it with regard to his loss, almeis acher hu boiche, he will end up having to mourn over another death. Ahi itza, and here we have an incident that lasts a couple of lines. Ahi itza dahavis b'shivusei Rav Huna. There was a woman in the neighborhood of Rav Huna, Havula Shiva Boni, and she had seven sons, Meis Chad Minayhu. One of them died, Haviska Bachya Biserta Ale. She cried a little too much over her son's death. Now, of course, we have to be careful when we present this type of discussion. It is a very, very sad event, and it is very reasonable for people to cry over such a loss. But there's a standard, and we don't have to define it in decibel levels or in physical reactions. Suffice it to say, for our purposes, there is a standard way of reacting to these misfortunes, and then there's something called overdoing it. This woman overdid it. Shalach lo Rav Huna, he sent a message, lo savdi hachi, don't behave like that. Lo ashki chobe, she didn't pay attention. Shalach lo, he sent another message, itzais is mutif, if you listen to me, good. Ve'i lo, and if not, sovis zavdiso le'idoch mis. That would mean prepare shrouds for another death. Omisukulu, and unfortunately, they all ended up dying. Lesof Omar Lo, and at the end he said to her, Timush Zavdasa Lenafshech, prepare your own shrouds. Umisa, and she died. Al Tivku Lemes V'al Tonudu Lo. The Pasuk says, do not cry over the dead and do not nod over him. Al tifku lemes, don't cry over the dead. Yoser midai means don't overdo it. Al tonudu lo, tonudu is a motion where one acknowledges, it's a movement, a shaking movement, a nodding movement, which is associated with expression of mournfulness. So when the Pasuk says, Al tonu lo, means, Yoyser mikishur, don't overdo it. Ha ketzad. So here, the Gemara lays down guidelines. Shloish yomim lebechi. 3 days, that is acceptable for crying. Veshiva lehespin. And up till 7 days for eulogizing. Ushloishim legiutulitisperus. And up till 30 days, one refrains from pressing clothing and haircuts. Mikan ve'elech, beyond that, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty says, I'atem rachmonim bo yoser mimeni, I'atem rachmonim bo yoser mimeni, are you more merciful over him than I? B'chu b'choy lahoylech. This is a continuation of the posuk that we mentioned before of Al-Tifku Lemes. Omar Rav Yehuda, the Pasuk says, cry for he who has gone, and Rav Yehuda says, L'hoylich b'loy bonim, to cry over he who leaves no children. Rav Yeshua ben Levi, lo ozal lebe avlo, elo leman de ozal b'lo boni. Rav Yeshua ben Levi did not go to help, to mourners' houses. That itself requires some investigation, some research. Why was it possibly because he was very preoccupied with his Torah study? But whatever the case is, he did not go to houses of mourning except to those that died, the ozil below boni, that died leaving no children. D'chtiv, he felt the pasuk was his instruction, was his basis. B'chu b'chu l'holech, ki lo yoshuv oid v'ro es eretz miladatoi. And as we said, that was the pasuk that we quoted before from Yirmiyahu Perikov Beis, pasuk Yud. Rav Huna Omar, ze Rav Huna, this pasuk was explained by Rav Huna differently. The Pasuk says, Ki lo yashuv oid, he will not come back. What does that mean for Rav Huna? Ze sh'ovar avera v'shana ba. This is a reference to someone who sinned and repeated the sin. Rav Huna l'tameh, and this explanation of Rav Huna is consistent with that which Rav Huna has said elsewhere. The Omar Rav Huna, kivan sh'ovar odom avera v'shana ba. Once a person does a transgression and he repeats it, let's skip the brackets for a moment. Nasis lo keheter, it becomes in his eyes as if it's okay to do that. Now let's go over this phrase again with the brackets. Rav Huna says, "Kivan she'od v'adam avera v'shonavo hutra lo." It is permitted for him. The Gemara says, "Hutra lo salkadaitach." What do you mean? It's permitted for him because a person does a sin twice, it becomes permitted for him. Elo'ema. Rather, you should say, "Nasis lo keheter." It becomes in his eyes as if it's permitted. So once a person reaches that state, so he will not, and as Rav Huna says, it's unlikely that he will repent. He won't come back. Amar Rabbi Levi, Ovel, Shlosh Yomam Rishonim, Yiras Asmo Ki'ilu Cherev Munachas Lo Bein Shtei Ksefov. And Ovel, during the first 3 days, should view himself as if a sword is lying between his shoulders. In other words, the fact that a person experiences the loss of a loved one, of a close relative, it's a bad sign for the survivors. It's as if they themselves are endangered. Mishloisha ad shiva, from 3 days till 7 days, ki'ilu munachas loy kenegda bekeren zavis. Things are lightening up, so the sword is viewed as if it's no longer between one's shoulders, but it's there in the corner. Mikan ve'elech, from that point onwards, Tosfos adds, until 12 months, ki'ilu oiveres kenegdoi b'shuk. The sword is as if it's passing by him in the street, in the marketplace. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.